Good evening, everyone, and Merry Christmas to you. It is the celebration of the Savior's birth, and I'm going to start the service with a thought that really stirred me this Friday at our men's breakfast. We were studying the devotion of Oswald Chambers on Christmas Day, his devotion in My Utmost for His Highest for Christmas Day. And I put the kind of a paraphrase of it on our signboard out front. And it's that at Christmas, God became a man. A man did not become God. We can never achieve divinity. It's a gift. And Jesus is that gift. And by the Holy Spirit lives in us. So I pray that that light and that reality will bless you on this Christmas Eve and this Christmas celebration today and tomorrow. Here as we begin our service from the prophet Isaiah in the 40th chapter, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and hear to her and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Please, as I pray, you may stand for our first hymn. Lord, we stand in your presence. We stand, we pray tonight in faith, in joy, and in celebration of Jesus coming. You're coming to us in a human being who was our Lord and Savior, who on the cross for which he came to earth, he pardoned our sin, and he prepared in heaven a place, and also in your body in Christ on earth, a place for us. And we pray in his name, and we worship him as we sing, "Hark, the herald angels sing." Amen.
Oh,
and you may enjoy your seats.
We're going to read from Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. A child has been born to us. God has given a son to us. He will be responsible for leading the people. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Powerful God, Father who lives forever, Prince of Peace. Power and peace will be in the kingdom and will continue to grow forever. He will rule as king on David's throne and over David's kingdom. He will make it strong by ruling with justice and goodness from now on and forever. The Lord All-Powerful will do this because of his strong love for his people.
Thank you for allowing me to be here tonight. I wasn't sure I could make it. I'm not going to apologize for the song. I can't help it if I can't breathe, but I'm going to do the best I can, and praise it to the Lord. How can it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not my flesh nor of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, let me know what end in this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he smiles, the sun just seems to disappear. And when he laughs, it smiles again. How could it be? Please, Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life, I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How can it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? How could it be?
For those of you that don't know, a week ago today, or 2 weeks ago today, Roland left our church to go to the emergency room, spent 8 days in the hospital. Thought he'd have surgery every day. It kept getting put off until they finally sent him home without any surgery. And so, Roland, we're excited that you're doing well, and thanks for blessing us with that song about the one in the Bible story that Timothy says is one of the underrated figures in the story, Joseph. Let's hear more scripture.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end."
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night. Oh, holy night, oh, night divine. Holy, 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 Lord God, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, holy, are you, Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, you are holy. holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb.
We have just celebrated Christmas with our children's choir and the kids' choir. They're going to sing, but before that, we want to read them the Christmas story. So, children, please come on up here and have a seat, right where you normally stand. Come on up, and any children visiting are welcome to come and stand with them. You may not know the later music, but come on up. All the children are welcome to come on up.
In those days, a decree went from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration from Quirinius, was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Thank you to Mrs. McElhaney. And now, the children, you're going to sing the first verse of Away in a Manger. And then all of us are going to join in. That's number 112. Joyce, you leading us? Oh, Timothy's leading it. All right. Go, Timothy.
You good? Okay. All right, you guys ready? You're going to sing verse one, all right? I'll start with you. And then it's all you. So give me just a second here. Ready? Everyone, the cattle.
The cattle are lowing, the
being near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to
Yeah, the little guys, if you're not in the kids' choir, you can go back and find mom and dad.
Great. Thank you, children. And thanks to Joyce for directing. We had a great musical. And Rebecca, for those of you that don't have eyes in the back of your head, was in the back kind of helping with the hand motions a little bit with cues. You may all go back with your parents. Are we done? Oh, you got another song? Oh. I asked Ed if that was the second song. He said it was. Okay. Let me just prepare you parents for what's coming after this song. If you have children that would like, you'd like to be in the nursery, when this next song is over, you're welcome to take them down there. If you want to keep them up here, you're welcome to do that.
There, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born unto you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Thank you, children. I'm glad you weren't done before. That was wonderful. Thanks. Before we have our offering, we're going to come into a time of prayer. And we have a special need tonight for which we're going to pray according to the Word of God. Here we go. The scripture in James 5 tells us that if anyone is sick, he may call the elders of the church, who anoint him with oil, and pray for healing. And our own dear Phil Miller just this week learned that he has several tumors in his bladder, and he's starting chemotherapy right away. There was a biopsy done to confirm things, but Phil has asked us to pray for him, so we invite you to pray along. And if the pastors and elders would like to join me, come on up, Phil. Giovanni, you want to come with him? You're welcome. It's up to you. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that your written word points to your word, Jesus, who was in the beginning with you, and without whom nothing that was made was made. And he is also in the business of recreating and healing. And so, Lord, we come according to that word through James, who said that we can gather as the church and pray when there's illness, and anoint with oil in faith and obedience. And so, Phil, I anoint you with oil in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I pray for your healing mightily in his name. I pray that, Lord God, you will just flood into Phil's body with your healing presence, that even before the treatments, that he'll be clear of any illness of any kind, Lord, that you'll just build his faith and that of his wife Giovanna as they stand in faith together in this time. Lord, we pray to you as the great physician. You are the one to whom we turn with all of our illnesses and through whom we find healing. And Lord, we ask humbly and sincerely that you will allow healing to flow for Phil in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Can I ask our ushers to step forward for an offering, please? What a wonderful day it is to see all of you here, and we always welcome to attend Zion's candlelight service. And it is this weekend for many of us who will gather to share some wonderful memories. It's a joyful time for the children as well. But let us always keep in mind that truly Jesus is the reason for the season. And with that being said, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and fellowship in your house. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and spend time on this wonderful weekend. We ask, Father God, that we praise your name. We thank you for all the blessings that have occurred in our lives that have been given to us far and few. For all that we have is in thy name, and it is of thy own that we give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Eight to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Amen. Good evening, everyone. Really looking forward to an opportunity to reflect a little bit on the story of God related to something that my family has been living out now for some time. And the more I think about this, the more I realize that we are all living this out. And the more I think about the story of God, I realize that the people of God have been living this out throughout the entire story. And what I'm going to talk about tonight is transition. Life is transition. Now, before I get into this, we haven't stood for a little while, so can I ask you, just let's take a moment, let's stand up. And you think you're just standing, but you're all making an illustration as you stand. From my very unscientific observation here, I would say 80% of you or more had something in common as you just stood. So now that you've stretched a little bit, I'll invite you to sit again. And I see, it seems to me that that percentage seems to be about accurate in sitting as well. Let me demonstrate for you. If I'm going to go from standing here to kneeling at this altar, the first thing I'm probably going to do is put my hand on the altar to steady myself during this transition. And then if I'm going to stand up, I'll exert some pressure on the altar to stand up. From what I could see, a lot of you were grabbing the pew in front of you or behind you. I've been thinking about this myself lately when I go to sit up or stand up from a seated position. Sometimes I'll push on my legs. If someone's around, they might give you a hand. Some of you are in great shape and you're just popping up without grabbing anything. That's the 20%. No, that's all. We all tend to grab on to something, okay? I didn't mean that as an insult at all to anybody. We tend to grab on to something as we transition. Transitions can be hard. Transitions happen in all aspects of life. There are relational transitions. There are transitions of space where we move from one place to the next. There are transitions related to expectations. There are transitions related to positions. Transitions related to dreams that are fulfilled or unfulfilled or delayed. There are transitions related to life and death, having children, marriage, a new job, leaving a job. Life is full of transitions. When I think of this Christmas story, something that has become so sentimental and so common for us in our reflection is to see a manger. But something that's been striking me lately is to think about the transition from the throne to the feeding trough that characterizes the birth of Jesus. And then the transition from this feeding trough to the tree where Jesus was nailed, completely laying his life down. And then the transition from that tree to the throne.
at the right hand of the Father. So what can we learn about ourselves as we go through these transitions? When I think of the people of God and the story of God, and we think about that commission at the very beginning of creation, God's people were commanded to fill the earth, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion over the earth, to rule over the creatures. So when they are getting ready to step out in this transition, they are confronted with a choice as to whether they are going to rule or whether they're going to be ruled by the creature. And we know the story of how they submitted to the temptation to take and eat. When they went to steady themselves, they grabbed onto something related to their own ambition, not the commission that the Father had given them. I also think of Genesis chapter 12. I think of Abram. I think of how after he was promised that he was going to be a blessing to all nations, he enters another nation, and because of his fear, he grabs a hold of the situation, and he tells his wife to lie about her identity as his wife. Brings a judgment upon Pharaoh's household instead of being the blessing that he was called to be. As Abram trusted the Father and took his hands off the situation as he went throughout his life, and we see him doing that in different ways, God fulfills the blessing that was for Abraham to carry out. I think of Genesis chapter 32, where we encounter Jacob moving from one place to the other. It's very interesting in looking at these verses because so often there's movement involved. There's actual transition marked in the story. Something interesting happens when Jacob grabs a hold of that man of God and actually wrestles with God in that setting. And at one point, Jacob asks that man what his name is. He tries to play the name game. In that culture, if you knew the name of the Spirit, the name of the deity, the name of this powerful being, you had a measure of control, it was believed, over that God. Interestingly, Jacob doesn't receive the name of the one he wrestled with. The one he wrestled with changed Jacob's name to Israel, which means struggles with God. It's a good thing to grab onto God, to cling to Him like Jacob did when his cry became, I don't want you to leave till you bless me. That's one thing. Another thing to say, I want to know what your name is. We actually see Moses struggle in the same way when God speaks to him from the burning bush and says that I'm going to send you to deliver my people from under the bondage of Egypt. Moses says, tell me what your name is. What am I going to tell them your name is? God says, I am who I am. You can't control me. I'm beyond your reach. You can't take hold of me, but I can take hold of you. I am who I am. Story continues in 2 Samuel where we have David, and this is an interesting story. It's pretty troubling, actually, where they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and Uzzah reaches out and steadies the ark when it starts to stumble. The ark, which was carrying the presence of God, and he was struck dead because of his irreverent act. David's like, whoa, I want to be away from this. And they abandon the ark. Obed-Edom, whose household receives the ark, ends up receiving the blessing of God. David takes the ark back, and you know what's interesting? As David precedes them with the ark, they just go a few paces, then they make a sacrifice. And then they do a few more paces, and they make a sacrifice. because that reverence for holiness in God's presence was such an important, vital thing. Jonah, we know Jonah's story, perhaps, where the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, and his first reaction over here is to run away, to take a hold of his life, run away, go down into the ship, and try and hide from God. Second time that the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, he goes and preaches, and a whole city repents. Not just any city, a city marked by evil like no other city in the history of our world. This city repents at the declaration of God's word. In Matthew, now we get to the story that we're so focused on this time of year. Joseph is told that the one that he is betrothed to is with child, and they're not yet together in that way. And Joseph thinks he's going to put his hand on the situation and put her away or divorce her. And an angel appears to him and says, no, do not be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. In Luke chapter 1, Mary, upon encountering the message of the angel, heading into a transition that would forever change her life. Yes, she is afraid. Yes, she's incredulous. And she asks, how can this be? And yet she takes her hands off and surrenders and says, be it unto me according to your word. I think of Mark chapter 13 and Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, as he's on the eve of going to the cross. But then he says, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus was wrestling with such fervor as Jacob wrestled with God. He was wrestling. Three times he wrestled. But he took his hands off and he said, not my will, but your will be done. In Luke chapter 9, when Jesus has followers who are coming to him, wanting to follow him, Jesus tells them the life of transition that is before them, beginning in verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. When Jesus commands us to follow him, please understand, 80% of us are going to grab onto something. Most of us will. And that's not always a bad thing. Isn't it good to have an altar rail here that we can hold on to? Isn't that God's grace that there are people around us who can take our hand, that can help us when we need help transitioning from one thing to another? We were not designed to go at this alone. Actually, we are to be reaching out and grabbing on to one another's shoulders, walking side by side, hand by hand, hand in hand in this journey. But more than anything else, what we're taking a hold of when Jesus calls us to follow him is a cross. He said this to his followers, whoever wishes to come after me must take up his cross and follow me. And a cross is not something that we control. A cross is not something that is comfortable, just like the trough is not. The cross is our death. The cross is us laying our life down. Jesus' death began when he became a human being in a fallen world to take on our sins and take those to the cross. His process of heading to the cross began when he came and was laid in that manger. He was taking up his cross in the very incarnation that would ultimately lead him to the cross, that would lead him to the grave, which would ultimately lead him to the throne. In human form, fully God, for all of eternity. And as a reminder to his disciples, when he commissioned Peter after the resurrection and the others, he showed them his wounds, he showed them his scars, and he said, this is what is before us. It's not his exact words. What he said was, as a father sent me, so I send you. Peace be with you. But remember, he was the resurrected Jesus giving them that commission. And so even as we take up the cross, we do so with the hope of resurrection. The only way we can take up our cross is because we're laying our lives down because of the hope of resurrection. And so as we contemplate this season, the meaning of this story, let's remember what it is to follow him. And whenever we have these, but first let me take care of this, or but first this needs to happen, or but first, Peter did that. When Jesus said, Peter, you follow me, he said, yeah, but what about this guy? What about John? Is he going to suffer the same fate I will suffer in following you? Jesus says, you follow me. Don't take hold of what might be happening in his life. Don't start comparing yourself to others. You follow me. And then if he follows him, he and John can go arm in arm, supporting one another in that. Because we all have different strengths. We all have different weaknesses. And he has uniquely fit us as a family to support one another as we take up our cross and follow him, to encourage one another about the hope that is before us. When we think of our losses in following Jesus, when we think of the things that sometimes must be sacrificed, sometimes that includes family and friends. Sometimes that's a part of taking up our cross and following him, that we may be rejected, that we may not be embraced. Doesn't mean we stop loving our family and friends, but it may be that Jesus will be leading us in some different directions than our family or friends would lead us into. Sometimes it means leaving home, learning to make ourselves at home wherever we lay our head in following him. It would be interesting in here. I'm just curious, how many of you are currently living in a place that is not your hometown? If you could raise your hand. That's a lot of transitions in this room. How many of you at some point in your life have lived in a place that is not where you were born? Even more hands. That's a lot of transition. As we follow God's plan for our life, it's going to lead us into different places. Sometimes we leave positions. Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be held onto, but he laid it down, taking the form of a bondservant. We're told in Philippians 2. Sometimes our reputation might suffer for following Jesus. Sometimes our financial security will be shaken when we follow Jesus. Sometimes our safety will be shaken. What's interesting is when we consider his losses in following the Father, we could put some of the very same things up here. And this is just an exercise to think along these lines, but Jesus had to sacrifice relationships with his family as they thought he was crazy. In his hometown, they drove him to a cliff, ready to throw him over the cliff because they said, man, this is the carpenter's son. He was not embraced initially by his family. We already talked about his position on the throne next to the Father that he laid down. But he also laid down a promising career as a carpenter. The financial security. He was dependent on others for food, for provision. The Bible talks about people who provided for Jesus and his disciples. And it's very interesting because the mantra of our day about peace and safety, which Paul also warned about, is not the mantra of the New Testament. Peace and safety, which has become one of our core values in this land, is not a core value of the kingdom. Eternal peace, eternal life, is at the core of the kingdom. But we don't hold on to our lives. They belong in the hands of the Father. And it's interesting when we start to think of some of the similarities, and then we think of Paul's words in Philippians 3, where Paul boils it down to wanting to know Christ. He says he wants to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings. So whenever we draw alongside those who are suffering or walking through transition and they're needing to grab something to help them continue going, and we help them and come alongside, that's part of helping them grab onto the Lord, that we can participate in his sufferings for the sake of following him and declaring his word to others. This Christmas, I'd like us to take this to heart as we consider our leavings. Now, in a very practical way, our family is preparing to leave. In just a couple days, we'll begin our journey back to Peru by way of Montana. It's a bit of an indirect route. And then to California and then back to Peru. But it's another transition for us. And we've been learning that as much as we want to grab a hold of things in this journey, we just can't. But we have also been learning that there's unspeakable joy in grabbing on to the Lord and having others walk side by side with us as we do that. And I'm not just thinking about our leaving right now at this moment. I'm struck by all the families who are gathered. And no doubt there are leavings that some of us are facing right now. Some of us are walking through grief. Some are anticipating some type of separation or transition. Some of us may be filled with joy over a transition that's occurring. Some of us might be walking with a lot of uncertainty and doubt and insecurity at this moment. But I really believe that by God's grace, as we focus on Him and the message of the manger, that we can have victory by His grace in these transitions. And they can ultimately prepare us for our ultimate transition that will never come to an end, into a resurrection, into a new heaven and new earth, where we will all finally and forever be home and family together. And until that day, we continue to walk through these transitions, and we learn to trust Him through each one. So I'd like you, if you receive this liturgy for leavings, to stand. And we're going to have this prayer together right now. And I'd like you to be thinking about whatever transition you have either recently come out of, are in the midst of, or are going into. And certainly on our hearts as a family is the transition we're about to walk through once again. But there's so many in here that we can be praying about as we remember these words. Because I find in this prayer a gift of helping us focus on the things that we can take hold of together in following the Lord. And so this is a Christmas gift, I believe, for us as we walk through these transitions to think about what it is that we can take hold of together. You together will read all the words that are in bold, and I'll read the rest. Even in our goodbyes, there is a blessing, for the sorrow of parting is a measure of the depth of the bond we have come to share in Christ. Thank you, O God, that we do not walk this road alone, but that this journey toward eternity and toward your heart has been, from the beginning, one that you ordained we should undertake in the glad and good company of our fellow pilgrims. O Lord, make us ever mindful of one another. Unto the end, that we would labor in the days to come as those who would tend and encourage the stories of those around us by prayer and friendship and thoughtfulness and conversation, affirming and sharpening and amplifying one another's good works, unto the end that your body would be built up and that your kingdom would be more fully realized in this world. Thank you, O God, for the mercy and the beauty incarnated in the words and acts of these your people, extended one toward another. It is no accident that we were born in the same epoch, and that our stories have twined in this time and in this place. Let us therefore go forth and steward one another's stories. Let us journey from here together as vessels of that mercy and as stewards of that wild and wondrous beauty that flows from the heart and mind of our Creator. Grant, O Lord, that we might take our leave of one another now, feeling a right joy for the blessings of the hours we have shared, even as we feel a bright and hopeful sorrow at their close. Friends and saints and fellow pilgrims, we part now in the confidence that in our diverging paths we walk the same road, fanning the same flame, and that in time we will meet again in a fellowship forever unbroken. By your Spirit, O Christ, make us faithful in the meanwhile. As we go out to labor in the diverse fields to which you have assigned us, laboring unto that better meeting and unto that new-made world that is yet promised and that has already begun. O Spirit of God, be as present in our parting as you were in our gathering. Be present in our journeys. Be present in our days to come. Be present in our works and in our words and in our hearts. Be present in the bonds of our community, Lord Christ. Be ever at work among us and through us. Amen.
You may have your seats. We 3 years ago, we as a congregation commissioned Mark and Kristen and Caleb and Jacob and Rachel as they left for their 3-year commitment in Peru with Kids Alive. They served that commitment and were very blessed and have come home on their home assignment for the last 5 months leading into the middle of January when they go back. And right now, we'd like to commission them again as they go for an undefined, indefinite period of time. Mark has been appointed the Director of Discipleship and Development in Peru. He works in their 3 locations in that area now, and they're all doing a lot of work many of us have heard about. But we want to send them as they leave with God's blessing. And just for your information, we've been just seeking the Lord together as leaders. In these 3 years when Mark was away, he had served here as a pastor for so long, an elder. He held on to that. He leaned on that, and we've called him a missionary pastor during this time. We're now coming to terms with the fact that he's in another country. He's not here serving in our present on-the-scene leadership, and God perhaps has other ways for Mark to feed his gifts and his wisdom into the furthering ministries of our church. So we're not going to call him missionary pastor anymore. He's a missionary. We're going to send them into the field. He's letting go of some things, and we're letting go of them, but we'll always be united in the Lord, and we'll always be their home, and they'll always be one of us. So Timothy and Matt would come on with me, and you guys come over, we'll just send you in prayer.
Father, we come before you this evening in this very special service. There are a lot of things on our minds and on our hearts, and certainly this commissioning and this return to Peru for the Cody family is one of those. God, I have one simple request, and that is that you would enable and empower Mark and Kristen and Caleb and Jacob and Rachel to go in peace. And so we ask that your peace would fill every aspect of their return to Peru, from the travels on the planes, in the motor cars, in the taxis, the buses, whatever form it may come, God, for safety. Bring peace to their minds, to their hearts, to their relationships with one another. Peace in their relationships with people here. Peace in their relationships with their friends and co-workers in Peru. And God, most importantly, I pray that you would overwhelm them with the peace that they have with you. So we pray your hand of protection upon them. We ask that your favor would continue with this family. And we are very excited. We are eager to see what you will accomplish through this family. So we bless them, we send them, we release them to you, to your care, and make us faithful. Help us to be faithful, to love and support and encourage, to converse with this family, to continue these relationships, to build them into even greater things for your kingdom. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.
Let's sing O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Above my